Good afternoon. I hope everyone's having a good weekend. Welcome to On the Docket. I'm Patricia Salkin, Dean of Toro Law Center in Central Islip. Every Sunday at this time, we talk about current legal issues and how they affect you. Today on the docket, we're talking about issues that are affecting senior citizens, their families, and caregivers. At Toro Law Center, we're very familiar with these issues because of our new Institute on Aging and Longevity Law, our Elder Law Clinic, and our Senior Citizens Law Program. The program, our focus today, offers free legal service to those over 60 in Suffolk County, and it's an important tool that people need to be aware of. Joining us now is Denise Doty, professor at Toro Law Center, as well as the director of the Senior Citizens Program. Hi, Denise.
Hi, Dean Salkin. Thank you so much for having me in today to speak with you.
Thanks. Can you tell us a little bit about the Senior Citizens Program?
Yes, absolutely. The Senior Citizens Law Program was brought to Toro Law Center 4 years ago. We're in our fifth year now. This is a federally funded program under Title III-B of the Older Americans Act, and the funds are administered through the Suffolk County budget. We report to the Suffolk County Office for the Aging, and we are staffed with two attorneys, me and our staff attorney, Jillian Allman, and our paralegal gerontologist, Judith Lespinas. We provide free legal services to seniors age 60 and over who live in Suffolk County.
So how does the program work exactly?
Well, we get referrals to our program from many different places, from the Office for the Aging caseworkers. We are also well known in the courts on Long Island, in the district courts. We are well known by many of the other agencies with whom we work, FEGS, Family Service League, VIBES. We also train the ombudsmen that work in the various nursing homes and assisted living facilities on Long Island. And many of those people refer clients to us on a daily basis. And a lot of it's word of mouth. Once we do take a case for a senior, very often they refer us to someone else.
And how many cases a year on average do you guys take?
Well, we have two different types of cases. Well, we take in legal cases, and those are cases that we spend actual time on going to court or handling motions or drafting correspondence, doing research. Last year, we did over 700 of those types of cases.
700, that's a lot. How does somebody qualify for your services?
Well, we have an intake procedure. You call our office. We have a main intake line, and you will speak to one of us in the program or one of our student externs or work-study students who will take your information, name, address, telephone number, some statistical information, get a short synopsis of what your issue is, and then they will come and speak to one of the attorneys in the program, and we'll determine whether it's the kind of case that fits into our program and whether we can assist you with it.
So is it based on the subject matter? Is it based on income or ability to pay? Or how do you make those determinations?
Based on subject matter. We have no income guideline, although a lot of our program is focused on needy and low-income clients. However, we do not have an income guideline. It is based on subject matter.
So what are some of the kinds of issues that are handled at the program?
Well, we handle many different kinds of issues because we're working with a population. We work on durable powers of attorney, healthcare proxies, and living wills for our clients, DNRs. We help them in filling out Medicaid applications, SNAP, HEAP applications. We go to Medicaid fair hearings if they have been denied benefits. We help them with SSI and Social Security issues. We also handle landlord and tenant law cases on both sides of the equation. We handle a lot of contractor or other type of fraud cases that seniors are victims of. And we also handle various debt cases, credit card debt and medical debt.
That's a long list of issues that you're dealing with.
Yes, it is. And we have a large call volume in our program, anywhere from 30 to 40 phone calls a day.
So are you able to resolve any issues over the phone, or most of the time does it involve people coming in?
Both. There are some questions that we get, and sometimes we can answer a question immediately for a client over the phone. We call those our information and assistance clients, and sometimes we can just do some brief research and get back to them with an answer. Other times, if someone has a more complicated scenario, we'll set up an appointment with them and have them come to the office to speak to us. And if it's a senior who is disabled or can't travel for some reason, we actually go to their homes, nursing homes, and assisted livings.
That's terrific that the attorneys and the students will leave the law center and actually go to help people where they are.
Absolutely.
It's a wonderful service. So do people oftentimes come in with their children or friends who maybe are trying to be their advocate but are not really the client?
Absolutely. We routinely get phone calls from children of aging parents who say, my mom needs a power of attorney because she's starting to get a little bit confused and I'm afraid she's forgotten to pay her bills and I need to know what's happening and be in control. And our response to that is, well, does your mom think she needs a power of attorney? Have you discussed it with her? And is your mom competent at this time to sign a power of attorney? No one can come to our program and sign any type of legal document unless we're assured of their competency. And how do we accomplish that? We say, can you bring mom to our office for a consultation? If you can't bring her to our office, we'll come and visit you. And when we get there, or you bring mom to us, we need to spend time alone with her to talk to her and find out what her wishes are and if they are the same as what her child is indicating they are.
And that's, I think, very important because many children, relatives, and caregivers in their desire to help often forget that as lawyers we have a responsibility to have that confidentiality between us and our client and that the client really is the individual about to sign a document. It's not the people that surround him or her.
Absolutely. And sometimes we can see that children take a little bit of offense when we say to them, can you please sit here in the waiting room while we bring mom or dad into the office to speak to them? Or they might say, oh, mom doesn't really hear well and I help her, or doesn't see too well. And we always assure them that we're able to speak clearly enough to make them understand.
Right. So you mentioned that the program also has a paralegal gerontologist.
Yes.
I didn't know that paralegals specialized or had a gerontological background. You know, how does that help the program and on a daily basis?
Well, our paralegal has been in the field of elder law now for over 15 years. She's very dedicated, and on her own, she chose to go to Hofstra at night and obtain a degree in gerontology, which really gave her a much broader understanding of the issues facing seniors and their families and how to help counsel them and give them information on all sorts of programs that are available to them. Many people just don't have any idea of the resources that are available to them. And our paralegal, Judith, is wonderful at sharing that information.
Right. So sometimes the phone calls are as simple as making a referral.
Absolutely. We do. We make many referrals to other agencies. We sometimes refer clients also to the Private Bar Association. We refer them, to other agencies that might be able to help them.
And so, again, this is a free program that's funded by Suffolk County that is housed and staffed by faculty, staff, and students at Touro Law Center.
Yes, totally free. We do accept donations to keep the program running and to assist us with expenses. We are currently lucky enough to have 4 students working in the program this semester, 2 externs, 2 work-study students, and it's been a wonderful experience for them because they've gotten a lot of exposure in speaking to clients and learning how to deal with real live clients and their problems.
That's terrific. So how does somebody contact the Senior Citizens Program?
You can call us directly. Our number is 631-761-7470. That's our main intake line.
Maybe repeat that slower.
631-761-7470. That's our main intake line. Leave us a message and we make every effort to have all calls returned within 24 hours.
That's terrific. Well, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to ask Denise Doty about the 4 complaints they hear the most. Stay with us. You're listening to On the Docket with Torah Law Dean Patricia Salkin on Long Island News 103.9. Welcome back to On the Docket. This is Patricia Salkin, and I'm here with Denise Doty, professor at Torah Law Center, and we're talking about some of the top issues that we hear most often at the Senior Citizens Law Program housed at Torah Law Center. Once again, thank you for being here, Denise.
Thank you for having me.
So let's talk about some of these common issues. First, I understand housing is a big issue, particularly affordable housing. This is a big issue for everybody, but especially for seniors. Can you share some of the kinds of struggles or challenges that people bring to the office?
Yes, absolutely. This is a huge issue. We get many calls each week from seniors, some of whom are tenants and some of whom are landlords that are facing huge problems. On the tenant side, very often what we found is that tenants may get a notice that they live in a private home and or they have a private landlord and their lease is not going to be renewed and they don't understand why. And it's very hard for them to understand that a private landlord has no duty to renew a lease. It may be something as simple as the landlord wants to rent it to a family member or to someone for more money, but now a senior who may have lived in a place for 10 or 15 years is being displaced. And because of a limited income, they may be living on just their Social Security checks. They're having an extremely difficult time finding new places to live. There are some subsidized housing programs, Section 8. The waiting list for those programs are tremendous. They can go up to 5 years. So when we speak to seniors, we ask them if they've investigated these other places, and we routinely hear, yes, I'm on that list, but they told me it'll be 3 or 4 years before I get called. So there's a real lack of affordable housing. And because of families also not living close to each other any longer, there's a lot less of parents being able to live with their children.
So actually, where do these people live if they're not getting their lease renewed and they either don't qualify for public housing or they're not reachable on a list?
Some of them end up in rooming houses in one room. Some of them, very sadly, end up being evicted and ending up in shelters. And there's a lot more of that on Long Island and Suffolk County than I think people would ever be aware of.
That's amazing. And so I think, you know, that's one segment of the population that you're dealing with. And I would say that those are probably the very low income or no income segment of the aging population.
Yes. And if I could just interject, frequently these are sometimes seniors who also may have mental health issues going on, and they have a dual problem. And
do you also see seniors that are homeowners that come in and sort of are the house rich, cash poor scenario?
Absolutely. Every other day we get a call from a senior, it seems, who owns a home, but again, they're living on a Social Security check, trying to keep up their property taxes and homeowners insurance, and they need extra income. Frequently, this is a woman who has become widowed and has a single income. So they decide to rent out a room or part of their home to somebody from the community without doing any background checks, without doing any credit checks. And then they'll get someone into their home who doesn't pay or who may have a drug or alcohol problem or even be verbally abusive to them. Now the senior is in a position, you can't just change locks on Long Island and lock someone out of a house. You have to go to a go through a formal eviction proceeding to get someone out of your home once you've allowed them in. It's time consuming. It can take several months. And now the senior is paying out of their pocket to keep the electric going and the heat, and because you're also required to provide those services to the person living in your home.
Right. And so you could see why the seniors who are oftentimes vulnerable wind up in a situation where they're in a panic, and family members who may be far away are in a panic at the situation that their mom or dad or sister or brother may be in.
Absolutely. I mean, we just had a case recently where someone, you know, invited someone that they knew from the local deli to move into their home. And now they've fixed themselves there. And this senior has to pay a lot of money and spend a lot of time to get them out.
Have you been able to help people with property tax issues?
We have, yes. We many seniors don't realize that they might be entitled to an enhanced STAR exemption or sometimes even a low-income STAR exemption, depending on their income level. Mm-hmm. And we have helped many seniors file for those exemptions. This year's deadline has passed. It's due by March 1st of each year in Suffolk mm-hmm. County. But we haven't. We've saved a lot of them a substantial mm-hmm. amount of money.
Has anybody ever come in and talk about reverse mortgages?
They do. They do come in to talk about reverse mortgages.
Maybe we should just explain generally what
yes,
a reverse mortgage is.
A reverse mortgage is where you take out a sum of money and it can't be in excess of 80% of the appraised value of your house. It's given to you by the lender, normally a bank, in a couple of different ways, either in a lump sum, or you can have it sort of like an equity line where you write checks, or you can receive a monthly, set monthly amount. You can use that money for your monthly living expenses, and it doesn't need to be paid back until the senior either leaves the home, meaning they move into a facility, or they pass away and the home is sold. It's sold, then paid back out of the proceeds of the home. And it's a good source of income for many seniors. Occasionally, we've run into a situation, unfortunately, where seniors have also exhausted their reverse mortgage funds. But frequently, the seniors use them to pay their taxes.
Right.
And homeowners insurance.
So another big issue, I'm on switched topics, is advanced planning and getting financial affairs in order and creating the healthcare proxies that you mentioned in the first part of the show. What are the kinds of things that you deal with on a regular basis in that realm?
Well, first of all, we really suggest that every adult have what's called a durable power of attorney, where you can appoint someone as your agent to make business decisions for you should you become unable to do so. This is not just something that applies to older people. Younger people can have accidents, be unable to make a decision. It gives the agent the ability to act on your behalf, to stand in your shoes, to deal with Social Security, your pension company,
you have to get yourself to trust somebody in the decisions that they're going to make as well.
Yes. Your agent takes on what's called a fiduciary duty. They're supposed to be making a pledge that they're going to act in your best interest. Mm-hmm. The forms were changed a couple of years ago. They've been modified to try to lessen the possibility of fraud. It still exists, but overall, it's really a very useful tool for a senior who may eventually develop dementia or suffer from a stroke and not be able to handle their own affairs. Then there's someone in place who can access their checking account to make their rent payment, to make their utility payments. Part two is a healthcare proxy. That's an important document to have so someone can make medical decisions for you.
And, of course, it's important to have a conversation with whoever holds that healthcare proxy so that they know what it is you would want when you're unable to speak for yourself.
Absolutely. And we always encourage our clients that they need to talk to the person that they're appointing mm-hmm. as their agent and tell them what they want, what kinds of things, if they're faced with an end-of-life decision, what kinds of things do they want?
And, of course, it's much better to think about the powers of attorney and the healthcare proxy well in advance of when somebody's in crisis, like they've been rushed to the hospital.
Absolutely. It's important to have these documents in place, and we encourage seniors whenever we go out and do our community education programs to try to get these documents in place ahead of time. And we sometimes we go to senior citizen centers and libraries, and we prepare documents for seniors.
So lately on the news, there's been lots of reports of consumer frauds issues, people taking advantage of seniors in particular. What kinds of things are you seeing at the program?
We see all sorts of things, people being sold items over the phone without being without understanding what they're purchasing, people entering into contracts for services without reading them. One man was swindled out of a large sum of money, believing he was giving it to some charitable cause, and later came to find out that that charity didn't even exist.
And of course, seniors often don't like to call the police.
No, they don't. And we get calls, unfortunately, sometimes from seniors being taken advantage of by their own family members, and those are the toughest calls.
So let's remind people how they can contact the Senior Citizens Law Program at Toro Law Center.
Okay. Well, again, we're located in Central Islip. You can contact us at 631-761-7470. Again, that's 631-761-7470. You can come visit us in our offices, and if you are unable to, then we will come and visit you.
And again, remember, this is a totally free legal service for senior citizens funded by Suffolk County and available to anyone that is in need. I want to thank you again, Professor Denise Doty and Director of the Program, for joining us. And don't forget, On the Docket airs every Sunday at 4:30 on Long Island News 103.9. So until next Sunday, this is Dean Patricia Salkin. Have a terrific week.